Midland First. I am Reverend Bethany Machieski, the Associate Pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church, and it is a gift to be with you this morning. Whether you are worshiping online or in our sanctuary, we are glad to have you this morning, and it is a gift to worship our Lord together this morning. We have a few announcements for you this morning. We have another announcement from Hillary regarding the day of prayer on Monday, Thursday.
Good morning. I don't have too much to add to the announcement that's in your bulletin. The day of prayer this time will be in P3, and I hope it includes, if I'm able to get my act together, an ancient Passover meal, and it will be somewhat active. So parents, feel free to bring your children and everybody else be able to stay awake and enjoy it. So give the day of prayer a try on Monday, Thursday. Hope to see you there.
Thank you, Hillary. And then I also would like to let you know that orders for Easter flowers are due tomorrow, April 7th. And so if you could get those in by then, we would appreciate it. And then I also would like to let you know that we are still looking for actors for our tenor race service to play the disciples and Jesus. So if you are interested in that and would like to let me or Pat McElvenna know, we would appreciate that as well.
Savior, lead us like a shepherd leads sheep. Give us ears to hear, good discernment, so that we, when we are tempted, we will know the way out.
Glorify your name as you lead us, even in the wilderness, especially there, because you are the one who delivers us from evil.
Our opening hymn will be on page 428, For the Healing of the Nations.
Thank you.
Good to see everybody today. Last day of spring break. Oops. Okay. Our Bible story today, our lesson today, is about an act of love. But it is not a usual act of love. But it was extravagant, generous, spontaneous, worshipful. Some may even say holy. In Bible times, feet got very dusty. So feet were often washed when you went to visit someone as a sign of welcome. Mary washed Jesus' feet with a very expensive perfume and then dried his feet with her hair. She did this because of how much she loved Jesus, not to clean his feet, and because she knew he was God's son. We can show how much we love Jesus by loving others. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we love you. You gave your life for us so we can live for you. Help us to be kind and loving to others every day. May how we live be like a sweet-smelling, extravagant perfume to you. Amen.
Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. A long ways from home. A long ways from home. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. A long ways. A long ways. A long ways from home.
Thank you. And now we come to a time of offering. If you would like to go ahead and sign the friendship pads as the ushers are coming forward, we would appreciate it. We love to know who's here. And I would encourage you also to pass those down to your neighbor and pass them back so you can see who's sitting with you in the pew if you might not know them.
Thank you.
God, we give you thanks for all that we have been given. We know that all that we have to give is all that you have given to us, and you give to us abundantly. Lord, we pray that these gifts would be multiplied and used for the building up of your kingdom as you see fit. Thank you for who you are and your goodness to us. We love you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Poet E.E. Cummings has a poem called, "I Carry Your Heart With Me." The first stanza goes like this. "I carry your heart with me. I carry it in my heart. I am never without it. Anywhere I go, you go, my dear. And whatever is done by only me is your doing, my darling." There are two more stanzas, but I point out this one because it reminds me of the Trinity and the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The poetry, of course, is only a pale analogy to what we will one day understand in its fullness. But when we think of God, it's important to keep this triune nature in perspective. Now, why, when we're talking about the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," am I bringing up the Trinity, a doctrine which we can only know in part as human beings? It's because I want to remind us of who God is and who we are. As Adam Hamilton reminds us, we are all tempted. This is part of the human condition. Temptation is the lure or wooing that we feel internally, often fed by others or by marketing or by the devil himself, to say, think, or act in ways that are either morally wrong or that are not healthy or helpful for us. Sometimes the temptation is simply to not do anything at all when God is calling us to act. We feel the inward struggle, a wrestling of the thoughts with a desire to do what we know is wrong or not to do what we know is right. When we look at the account of Jesus tempted by Satan in the wilderness, what we find is Satan using what he knows about Jesus to try and get him to succumb. It begins with Satan tempting Jesus to turn stones into bread, and then to throw himself down from the pinnacle of the temple, and finally, to lay aside his authority and receive all the kingdoms of the world. We hear Satan say, if you are the Son of God, as if to plant seeds of doubt in the Lord's mind. And then Jesus responds with scripture, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Hearkening back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. This happens twice more, and the second time the devil quotes from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, when tempting Jesus with protection from the angels, so that he will not be hurt in descending from the temple heights. Again, Jesus quotes scripture in response. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. Finally, the devil offers him all the kingdoms of the world if he will only turn aside from God the Father and bow down to the devil. When we place this passage side by side with the Lord's Prayer and put it in context of relationship, it shows us something really beautiful about who God is and who he calls us to be. When I preached on the second petition, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, I chose the translation of Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13 from the King James Version because it uses the phrases, thy and thine. I appreciate that Adam Hamilton draws that to the forefront and helps us to keep the main thing. I had a professor who would always remind us that it's important to keep the main thing. That is God on the throne of our lives, rather than any one thing, idea, or task of our own making. When Adam Hamilton makes a side-by-side comparison of these two scriptures, he points out that what the devil is trying to do is lead Jesus away from a focus on thy and thine, and instead put it on me, my, and mine. Shifting back to what I mentioned earlier about the Trinity and the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we know that Jesus is both fully God and fully human at the same time. That is true, and it will always be true. Yet the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil while fasting for 40 days. This was his purpose during that time, to fast and to pray and to resist the temptation of the evil one. The relationship of the Trinity is important because the three persons of the Trinity share the same substance and the same will. They are one in their desire and in their understanding of what is right and good and true. We don't know how the temptations of Jesus actually occurred, but Adam Hamilton suggests that the devil tempted Jesus the way that he tempts us, through the voice in our head whispering and seeking to lure us to do what we know is not right. Paul likens spiritual warfare to actual combat. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11, we hear battle language being used as Paul tells us to put on the armor of God to defend against the devil's evil tricks. As we look more closely at this petition of the Lord's Prayer, Adam Hamilton makes a suggestion about how we should go about leaning into God as we walk in this life. We know that God cannot be tempted, and that God himself tempts no one. That's from James chapter 1, verse 13. But if we add a comma to the petition from the Lord's Prayer, so that we read the petition as follows, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It invites us into a new way of thinking about how we consider temptation and who is leading us. Who is on the throne of our lives? Is it God the Father or is it us? Hamilton suggests that in the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God to lead us, as opposed to leading ourselves. It's a slippery slope when we start down the path of saying yes to temptation. It will not end well unless we know the way out. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your own strength, beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you will be able to endure it." Hamilton uses his own example of giving in to temptation with dark chocolate peanut M&Ms, consuming many pounds in one sitting. But we all have ways in which we are tempted. The question is, who is leading us? Who are we allowing to be on the throne of our lives? When we pray this petition from the Lord's Prayer, we're asking God the Father to lead us. Notice the relational term, Father. We've already discussed petitions 1 through 4 of the Lord's Prayer, but the relationship, the bond that we have with God the Father, and the relationship that the Son has with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that is what frees us from the grasp of evil and the evil one and all that he would wish to pull us away from and to pull us into. When we know who we are and whose we are, we remain clear-headed and alert. As Peter tells the churches he's writing to in his letter that we know today as 1 Peter. In chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 of 1 Peter, he tells us that our accuser, the devil, is on the prowl, like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He tells us to resist him, standing firm in faith. It's important to remember as well that the Lord's Prayer is not just personal. It isn't just for us as individuals, but for all of us collectively. That is our prayer for one another. What a beautiful thing. Could you imagine what the world would be like if every person who follows Jesus Christ, our risen Savior, surrendered themselves to him and to his leading? As we come to the communion table this morning, I want to invite us to surrender ourselves to him and to submit ourselves to his leading, because he is trustworthy and good, and because his Father is our Father. This prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, it is for his glory and for our good. Our collective good and our individual well-being. We can trust the paths that he leads us on because he is the good shepherd. And even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when we endure temptation, evil will not overtake us if we give ourselves to the one who is ever, always, only good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for who you are, for the ways you lead us and care for us. Thank you for being the good shepherd, and that we can trust you to protect us as we walk through this life. No matter what we face in this life, we will never be alone. Help us to open our hands to you, to surrender all that we have and all that we are. Till the soil of our hearts so that we are formed and shaped by your love, and others see that love. We pray for the persecuted church today, all those who cannot worship you freely. Strengthen them in your spirit and give them courage to keep living out their faith, even as they face trials. Thank you that the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray is for all believers, not just us as individuals. Indeed, O Lord, give us all that we need today. Forgive us when we cling to more than we need, or to anything other than you because it makes us feel safe. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Give us a childlike dependence on you, that we would let you lead us as the good shepherd you are. Thank you that you will lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, not into temptation. That you will deliver us from evil and comfort us as we walk through challenging times. Please be with those who are suffering today in any way at all. Be with those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. May your peace rest upon them and upon those who are recovering from the storms in the last few weeks up north. Thank you, Lord, for the ways you go before us and behind us, for the way that we are surrounded by your presence, and for the ways that you protect us. Help us to be your hands and feet. Out of love for you and those whom you love, may we live out the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. May it shape who we are and who we are becoming. Because of who you've created us to be. Thank you that you who have begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it on into the day of Christ Jesus, and that we can grow in a relationship with you every day of our lives and offer that gift to others. Truly, thank you for this prayer that your Son taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I invite you to turn to pages 12 and 13 in your hymnal. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church and delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This is the bread which we break, and the cup that was poured out for many. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake in the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, and the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Will those who are serving communion please come forward? The table is set. Come. Lord, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself to us. I pray that you would empower us by your Spirit to give ourselves for one another. We love you and we thank you so much for who you are and for Jesus' sacrifice for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to stand as we finish our service with the hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, which you can find as number 474 in your hymnal, or the words will be on the screen.
Friends, go in peace today, knowing that the Lord desires to take your hand and walk with you through this life. He loves us all more than we can ever fully wrap our heads around, but he does give us ways of knowing him. And so I invite you to walk closely with him this week, to lean in to who he is as the Good Shepherd, to call on him and to lean in and just be held in his embrace. He will lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, not into temptation, but he will deliver us from evil and protect us and comfort us in the valleys. Go in peace and joy in the light of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.